Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, y'all? Welcome to the Timothy Hodge Show. Shout out to everybody for listening and tuning in. I am waiting on my guest, the one and only, the legendary Mr. Kevon Edmonds, to come on. In the meantime, I'm going to jump into some of his hits when he was with the group After 7. So I'm going to jump into some the hits from After 7, you know, their hits. I'm going to start right now. Here's something from Kevon Edmonds. Well, he's with the group entitled One Night.
Your eyes.
Kavan? Kavan?
Okay. Yes, this is he.
Kavan? I'm so
yes,
sorry.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hello?
Hello, I'm here.
Okay, we have a technical issue, so I apologize about that. I don't know what happened. It's just everything just went blank for a minute. I apologize about that. I'm so sorry. So how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Doing good, thanks.
I'm honored to have you, of course, and just again, I apologize. Now, I remember you, of course, from the group After 7, of course, you know. I remember that group, and I was a huge fan of that group and your guys' music. And to me, that was when R&B was R&B, of course, in my opinion. You started the group, of course, in Indiana University when you were attending, you know, with your brother Melvin and, of course, one of your classmates. What do you miss about being a part of such a legend, you know, huge group?
Quite honestly, I love the dynamics of performing together, and especially with the three individuals, just the unique harmonies, I think, and just the blend of our expression of R&B was really, really special. It's just for us to have waited so long and to have been desirous of performing, you know, it was like magical. It was like and I'm sure it's that way probably for anybody who has a love for music and finally the opportunity comes around and you go from doing something that you're not in love with doing to being blessed with the opportunity to do something that you do love. So, you know, it was almost dreamlike, you know, to finally, you know, get in that space where you were performing music live, going to the studio, creating music, and having an opportunity to go out here and performing for an audience who was familiar with your sound and appreciated what you did.
Mm-hmm. You're the brother of the legendary Kenneth Babyface Edmonds. How does it feel to be a brother of his? You know, how does it feel? First, before you ask the question, how many is it of you guys? I know Melvin and yourself.
There's six boys in the family.
Oh, wow. Okay. But you guys are the only
three
ones
of us are in the industry. Yeah. Three of us are really in the industry. The other three, you know, haven't been involved in the music industry. But I just think that's a question that's been asked many, many, many times over. Quite honestly, it's the same thing. I just kind of wonder. I wonder like what it's probably like for Bill Clinton's brother. You know, like brother Bill Clinton. You know, and it's like the president of the United States. And like, well, you know, yeah, he is the president of the United States. But before he was the president of the United States, he was just my brother. And like, he's my brother. You know.
Right.
You know, it's kind of separate. While you know, all of us are extremely proud of Kenny's accomplishments and, you know, how he has impacted all these many lives around him and the culture of music. You know, he has blessed us with his gift. You know, at the end of the day, he's still Kenny. You know, the beginning and for us, he's just our brother. So, and that's kind of how I see it. You know.
Understandable. You guys formed a group called Milestone when you guys did the Soul Food soundtrack. Thanks for me up there. Soul Food soundtrack with Casey and JoJo, Jodeci. You know, that was really a great thing. The group After 7, I believe, disbanded sometime in the mid to late 90s. Then you were talking about your first solo project that you did in 1999.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're releasing another solo project. Why now?
Well, I only work every 10 years.
Okay.
I'm teasing. No. The group After 7 was formed in 1989. We came out, well, it wasn't born, but let's say we dropped our music in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
And for some street, you know, whatever reason, we went about as far as I guess we were going at that point, and things changed, and, you know, my brother wanted to step away from it for a while, and so with that, you know, it made sense for me to, you know, venture off and to try something new. It just so happens that it was 10 years from the time that we got started, and it just so happens that it's another 10 years that I find myself here doing another solo record.
Right.
I figured that I would do another record. I just wasn't exactly sure when it was going to be. But it seems that things kind of happen in 10-year cycles for me. Now, I hope that doesn't mean that the next record will be 2019, but, you know, you never know.
Right.
We're enjoying the ride. That's what I could tell you for sure.
So it's a great thing, you know, to have you out. You know, you enjoyed your music when you were with the group, and, you know, hopefully we're going to enjoy your music, you know, as a solo artist. Growing up, who were some of your personal musical influences growing up as a child, and, you know, and that inspired you to want to become, you know, artist that you are?
Well, you know, I'll say it this way. You know, I think when I listened to music when I was younger, it wasn't that it was I didn't know that this is what I was going to do. And it didn't give me, it wasn't like I felt charged to pursue music because I appreciated or loved the artists that, you know, I enjoy hearing. But
right.
I would love to listen to what were all the hot groups back in the day, and, you know, just, and my brothers, because they were older, they would bring music home.
Mm-hmm.
45s, I don't know if you know about that, but anyway, 45 singles and stuff like that they would play. And so you'd hear all what were, you know, the Temptations. You'd hear the Delphonics, the Dells, the Originals. You'd hear all these groups, you know, the Mighty Spinners. Then, of course, there was Stevie Wonder. So all these, there's many artists that were out here where it just played, and I had an affection for them. Of course, you know, I really loved the Spinners and Lupe Soul when I loved him. I was a real, real big fan of both Nat King Cole,
okay,
and Johnny Mathis. I just,
okay,
you know, there was something about the richness of Nat King Cole's tone, just as a kid that I heard it, just it felt. It was such a warmth and just a beautiful, rich tone is what it was, what I heard. And likewise with Johnny Mathis, just something different than all the rest that was out there that made me, made them appealing to me. So there's a lot of different people out there that just, you know, kind of influenced me. However, I guess they were influencing me without me truly knowing that they were, because I had not a clue that I could sing or that I was going to be a singer, if you will.
Right. To me, when you were in your era with After 7, you know, during that era, that was when R&B was R&B, and the music industry was music industry then. Nowadays, what do you think, in your words, what do you think happened to the music industry? And what do you think happened to music in general?
Wow. You know, I think that music is always changing. It's always evolving. But I think that I think what happened to music is technology.
Mm-hmm.
Technology has been good in some ways. It's been good for consumers in a lot of ways, but it hasn't necessarily been so good for the artists and the art of music itself.
Right.
A lot gets lost. You know, it's not, and it's just not like, you know, I can compare this to technology for us as consumers without music being a factor, but that your cell phone that you have probably could have at least 50, 60, if not more, probably 100 to 600 numbers in it, which means that you probably no longer know the numbers that you dial. And if your phone got lost, there's probably a lot of numbers you couldn't dial. What's your mama's number? Unless you had that ingrained in your head or whatever,
right.
You're no longer, technology has made us lazy and so many ways.
Right.
We don't recall, we don't have the recall that we used to, because it has been so convenient to have these things on speed dial or just the numbers in there. And we go about our lives doing other things, but we fall back in some other areas. We call it convenience. At the same time, you know, not it's not necessarily the best thing in the world for us. And the same thing with, you know, young people coming up trying to learn how to play instruments.
Mm-hmm.
Playing live doesn't seem to be as important while you're in the studio anymore. It's all, you know, techno wizardry that allows you to create your drum beats, allows you to play a guitar on the keyboards if you need to. You know, it's just a lot has gotten lost. So that's happened in that way. And so it impacts everything else. It impacts how A&R have gone out here to try to find new creative music or whatever. And a lot of times in this industry, they play follow the leader. If there's something that's hot, then that is being daring enough to go out here and create something new. They rather play it safe. And, you know, they rather play it safe and stick with what already works and just, listen, we'll just, you know, create another, you know, look-alike or another version of what is hot, you know, instead
right.
of, you know, letting the creative process truly take its course. So a lot of things, there is no one thing, I don't believe, no one thing that is brought us to where we are today. Is a combination. It's a myriad of different things, I think, that have impacted how music is created, how talent is found, how people listen to music. We just live in a different world, and that's part of it.
Right.
You know? Something gets lost. Again, something
right.
gets lost.
Mm-hmm. Your new album, which is released sometime next month. Let's talk about that album. What can we expect to get from this album? What can we learn from it?
You'll get to learn that it's okay to fall in love. It's okay to be upbeat and positive about love and romance, that it doesn't have to be a negative thing anymore, that, you know, you can love and appreciate a woman in a good way without having to tear her down or refer to her in a derogatory manner. That
right.
you get to hear some of what you knew from me. I've been gone for 10 years, but what I sing about and the passion that I feel when I sing and how I deliver it is still there. You know, so you get that, and hopefully that comes across, you know, in my music and the performance of the songs that I sing about. But, you know, I still explore the various sides and colors of love. You know,
mm-hmm.
I know that we as consumers and just people, we as humans, we need love, and sometimes we won't admit to the fact that we want it. But this kind of speaks to the need. My record kind of speaks to the fact that we all need it. And if you're fortunate enough to find that love, that you should celebrate it. You should work hard to hold on to it, you know, and to not let go of it, you know, because
right.
everybody doesn't get a chance to know that feeling. And you know, oftentimes we find ourselves taking a lot of things for granted anymore.
Right. Do you, how many songs are on this album? And will you be doing some performances to help promote the album?
Yeah, I've been out on the road. I've been performing. I've been down in Atlanta, down through Montgomery, Birmingham, Alabama. We just came back from that run, and also we were also down in Columbus, Georgia. I'll be doing the Tom Joyner Family Reunion Morning Show this Friday.
Okay.
Down in Columbia, South Carolina, later on in the week, through the same weekend. You know, we're doing some lining up promotional dates. There's a video that is they're wrapping up, you know, in post production, trying to get that taken care of and getting that out to circulation. So, you know, we're doing the old, you know, the old, you know, 1-2-3 punch, if you will. You know.
I wish you much success with this album, and you know, I'm very grateful to have you at your back, and you know, you're working again. You know, I've been a fan since day one, since the group of After Seven. You know, I think you can bring, you know, some of that old R&B back, you know, to us, you know, so we can hear again. Is there anything else that you would like to mention that you're in the process of doing that you'd like to tell our listeners?
Well, you know, really, I'm actually just really enjoying getting back here in the capacity of a solo artist. You had asked at the very beginning, you know, what did I miss? You know, and those things are nice. Dynamics of performing with someone else on stage is really nice. But there's a freedom, I think, that you kind of get as a solo artist that is nice, too. I'm enjoying kind of getting back into the flow of that once more, and I'm really anxious to get back out here to my fans and reconnecting with them, and glad to be sharing some fresh music with everybody.
Right, and I'm sure they love to have you back. Once again, good luck with this album, and I'm gonna promote the album on here as best as I can, and I'm gonna make sure listeners go out and get it when it's released. Before I let you go, once again, Kavan, an honor, you know, you're a true musical treasure, as we all know. Is there anyone you want to acknowledge or any shout outs? I know you've got that.
Wow. Gosh, that could be a long list. it really could, but, you know, I would like to give a shout out to Make Entertainment, the independent label. And Al Manderson, a guy who has worked tirelessly and has encouraged me, you know, as a friend as well, over the years to get back to this place, to get back in this space. So he thought that, you know, the fans, they had not heard the best of what I could do, and that, you know, there was something more that I needed to share with the fan base. So, you know, big ups to Mr. Al Moses Madison, because he got me on out of the out of the space where, you know, I was, you know, kind of ready to not I wasn't in any way looking like I wasn't going to come out and perform again, but I think he had been encouraging me over the last 3 or 4 years, and it just wasn't ready. But I think, you know, everything happens in its proper time, and I think that right now this is perfect timing. There's a sense and there's a feeling that R&B is making a resurgence, you know, in a major way. And I'm glad to be a part of this whole process where everyone is kind of coming back and wanting to hear songs with real substance, you know, be it from me, whether it's Whitney Houston, whether it's Joe, whether it's Maxwell, you know. It's good to be back. And so, really, I'm a priesthood to all these other folks as well, these other artists who are out here, you know, making a statement that, you know, this is missed and this is what's needed. I'm glad to be a part of it all.
That's right. And that's a good idea. You mentioned Whitney's back, Kavan's back. So many people are back, and in the industry, hopefully, we'll be in that good era once again. Come on, I'm not going to hold you no longer. I know you have other things that you need to do, but it was a true honor, true pleasure to have speak with you. And once again, you are always welcome back to the show anytime that you see fit. You know, just let me know. And once again, you know, good luck with this album. Your music has been played and playing so many After Seven hits, and been playing your new single all week long. You know, so good luck with everything. And it was truly a privilege.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much, Kavan.
All righty. Have a great day.
Bye.